Hi, this is James Mercer from The Shins.
This is Shirley Manson.
This is Lo Tullist, co-founder of The Cure.
This is Huey Lewis giving you the story behind the song.
The Story Behind the Song is back with an exciting second season. We peel back the layers on music's most iconic hits with legendary artists like The Killers, Heart, The B-52s, Violent Femmes, Jewel, Huey Lewis, Modern English, and more. To keep the music flowing, we'll be sprinkling in classic episodes from our archives between each new one. So check out The Story Behind the Song wherever you get your podcast.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead. Download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence of Sound, and the Consequence Podcast Network. As always, I want to say thank you so much for making your way here, checking out our episodes all the time. Whether this is your first time or you're a returning customer, we do put out brand new interviews 3 times a week, one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So if you're not subscribed already, what are you waiting for? Hit that subscribe button. Great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, discover some new ones, know what's happening in the music world, and we make it easy for you because you can get it literally anywhere. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, Podchaser, anywhere that you get your podcast from, that's where you can find us. I'm Kyle Meredith. So this week, and for the next few weeks, in fact, best of 2020, it's going to be some very special episodes. We're going to be revisiting some of my favorite interviews from the year, some of the most popular interviews from the year. In this episode, you're going to hear from the likes of Buzz Osborne, Sparks, King Cruel, Paul Banks from Interpol, Ed O'Brien from Radiohead, and Mr. Stephen Malkmus. In fact, we're going to start with Stephen Malkmus. This was the second or third time, I think, that Stephen and I had spoken. Of course, I grew up, as a teen in the 90s. I was a very big Pavement fan, was always happy to see them get back together. I followed Malkmus through all of his solo ventures with the Jicks. I keep up. I'm a fan. That's what I'm trying to say. So getting to talk with someone like Stephen Malkmus, it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal every time. I do remember that the last time that we spoke, I think that he was on a speakerphone at his record label base. So it was just, that's a weird way to have a conversation. You know, that's a weird way. It's just this roomy, echoey thing when you're trying to make a connection over the phone with someone. That's difficult anyway. But luckily, this time it was different. And I think I found him in a good mood because we got to joke around a whole lot about generational bickering. I thought he'd be kind of fun, you know, to discuss that with, especially right before we did the interview. There was a lot going on. About Gen Z and the millennials calling out each other in Gen X and the boomers, of course, that was all in there. So as a statesman of Gen X, I thought that would be fun to get into it. And kind of with that in mind, that's where we start this part of the conversation, because here you have a guy that you might not think that he would be a Zeppelin fan, but turns out Malkmus is a Zeppelin fan, and he had just been on Twitter and he ranked some Zeppelin songs from the Zeppelin 4 record. So without further ado, let's jump into this. With Best of 2020, here's Stephen Malcolmus.
First off, with your tweet, where you were, it was just a random night, and going back to the story, you decided to put the headphones on and you ranked every song in your preference on Zeppelin 4, and Rolling Stone picked up that one tweet and sort of took you to task for it.
Yeah, that was, I understand everyone, it really comes down to this When the Levee Breaks song, which, you know, on Apple headphones, it's at the end of the album, it just sounds a bit, I know the famous loops from Beastie Boys and the drum. You know, I haven't really listened to that album all the way through, maybe even in my whole life, even though I know all those songs.
Yeah.
You know, except for, I don't really know Four Sticks very well, but every other song, you know, I totally know exactly what's going to happen in them just from existing on this planet. And so, yeah, when I was listening to it, I considered it fresh ears and a relatively, you know, with a little bit of bias against Ham and Egg Blues, no matter how well it's produced. So that's why I didn't. And everybody apparently loves this When the Levee Breaks song. And so I'm definitely ratioed on that, as they say.
Yeah.
And I don't mind, but, you know, I was really, the first song that I put on there is one called Misty Mountain Hop. And anyone who knows my style of music would understand why I like that is in something that I would like to play myself, you know. Whereas When the Levee Breaks, I can see it on the set list after 3 years of touring and just being like, okay, let's like autopilot. Let's just do When the Levee, you know what I mean? And just like thinking of the hotel room and the groupies and stuff like while I'm playing it. Whereas with Misty Mountain Hop and getting pumped by the strange melody and the I Can't Wait for That Fill by Bonham at the very end, you know, that's just going to make me lose it. So
as all the, it seems like there's more generational bickering right now than ever. I'll say that.
Yeah, there is. I mean, my daughter says it a lot. So I sometimes, or she doesn't say it a lot, but she calls us on things sometimes. And I'm not even a boomer, but, you know, it doesn't mean you can't exhibit boomer characteristics if you're not one. You know, like she's, or like the funny version of it. Where, I mean, obviously it's overdone and all that. Don't get me wrong for it to be so popular. But yeah, I mean, there's been some, obviously with the coronavirus, there's been some recrimination from some places I've seen, you know, where almost again, it feels like these younger people who hypothetically aren't really getting particularly sick from it, even though we're not saying that, mm-hmm. and some of them do, mm-hmm. are having to pay the bill again. You know what I mean? Right. Like I mean, it's, people have said that and got shot down on the internet, you know, for mm-hmm. saying that, you know, like we're all in this together and people get sick. Everyone gets sick and you're a fascist or something for saying that. But there's like, it's kind of, again, what it's not like the boomers caused corona. I'm not saying that.
Right,
But I'm just saying they're far and away going to be the ones that are affected by this. Anyway, that's just another side I've seen of that. But where else you see it, it's in many places. The stock market bailout could be considered one, too, just in the specific corona times, which is absolutely insane.
Stephen Malcolmus there, obviously. I guess I don't need to treat this as if you were listening live on the radio and you just tuned in. You're in a podcast. You're in the middle of it. Either way about it, I'm Kyle Meredith. I'm still Kyle Meredith. Next, I want to hit Radiohead's Ed O'Brien on this Best of 2020 edition. This is his first solo record. In fact, Ed O'Brien, without me checking, he's one of the last, at least, one of the last Radiohead folks to do solo music, to do music outside of the band. And so he released EOB, that's what Ed O'Brien, he released it under EOB earlier this year, and it's amazing. It's one of my favorite things, one of my favorite pieces of music that's been done outside of Radiohead by any of the band members. Now, a couple quick things to say before we hit the clip from this one. There have been times throughout my life where I have been mistaken as Ed O'Brien, and I will say it's been done by someone who's drunk most of the time. I'm not sitting here telling you that I think I look like Ed O'Brien. I am a white guy with a face, and he is a white guy with a face, and I think we both have long faces, and we're sort of tall.
And anyway, even once by my wife, who was not drunk, when she went by the TV and I had it paused on an interview that he was on, she thought I was sitting next to Tom York. So there's some credibility to that. It was kind of fun meeting him. We took a picture together, and when we're standing next to each other, it turns out we don't look anything alike. So I'm not really sure what that says about my wife or how she sees me. Second of all, this was in New York. I'd gone up to New York, met him in one of the studios up there. So it was a face-to-face interview with a legend of one of my, again, all-time favorite artists. And I believe this would have been the last trip that I took in 2020. It was right after this. That's when the pandemic hit the United States. Lockdown went ahead, and Ed O'Brien didn't make it home, and then reported that he had actually had COVID-19. He had got the coronavirus at some point. So just some interesting context as you head into this. I don't think that means anything to what we're talking about, obviously, here, but interesting stuff nonetheless. Here's Ed O'Brien. The way you talk about the record, the word joy comes up a lot.
Right.
You know, and celebrations. Mm-hmm. But calling it Earth, and taking the sort of pale blue dot side away for a second, mm-hmm. calling it Earth in 2020, seems like that's probably trying to say much more. Like the fact that you can get a lot of optimism within the songs, you know, and I'll point to a few other things as it traces back to Brazil. When I think of Brazil right now, you know, I'm not thinking of the good parts. How much, I mean, Radiohead has a long history, you know, Idiotech comes to mind, you know, we talk about environmental songs. How much of the light is trying to shine on that part of the conversation as well?
I felt it was really important because we are living in a very dark, we're in a dark moment, I think, and it's very challenging environmentally, politically, all this stuff that's happening technologically. It's a very, very, very challenging time. But I felt it was important to acknowledge that, but not leave it in darkness. And my music, because it's not how I feel about it. I feel, listen, this planet that we live on is so beautiful. It's so extraordinarily beautiful. And I've had the good fortune of knowing an astronaut, Mike Massimino. Mm-hmm. And astronauts talk a lot about this, the overview effect. They leave, they go into orbit and they look down upon the planet. This is a jewel we live on. And we've taken this thing for granted. And, you know, many, many cultures and indigenous peoples have really understood about this planet and our connection to it. And since the Industrial Revolution, we've lost our connection with it because we live in, you know, and I look out the window and we've got very beautiful buildings here in New York City. But everywhere we look, it's all evidence of humanity's ability to build extraordinary things. And it is extraordinary, but it's out of kilter now. And we've forgotten. We've forgotten that we are of this planet and we're connected with the planet and we're connected with one another. And for me, I feel happiest when I remember that, when I'm with people that I'm connected. So whether it's at festivals like Glastonbury or whether it's watching a movie like the Hubble NASA movie, or whether it's watching a film like Interstellar or something, that the preciousness of being able to walk this planet. Now, of course, I understand. I got the golden ticket, you know, and I really do. But I think that we're living in a time of, this is a massive moment in humanity's history, and I feel very, very strongly that we need to remember, we need to get back to that connection, and that's the way that we heal all of this. That's because it's out of. It's out of sync. And also I think the lives that most people live are so incredibly hard. And that comes from a disconnection. That comes from, it's not their fault. It's about the system being, you know, I was talking yesterday about with Carly from my management, and we were talking about mortgages, and she's, you know, and people, and, you know, she's the age when people are starting to buy their own mortgage and stuff like that. And, you know, things like, you know, buying your house and stuff like that can be an amazing thing. However, if it gets you into so much debt that you do a job that you hate your boss, that you hate your people around you, or you don't, you feel and you have to do it and it slowly kills you. I mean, this is kind of the story of the West, right? This is the thing that's being reevaluated right now. And I think younger generations, certainly in Britain, don't have the opportunity to buy houses. So this kind of thing. So what am I trying to say here? What I'm trying to say here is that I didn't want to make a record that was, you know, oh, it's all going to be great, it's all going to be fine, because that's not the truth. I didn't want to make a record that goes, it's all crap, it's all shit, this is that, because that's not the truth. The truth is there's darkness and there's light. But what I wanted to do was really look about the light. And for me, like, you know, the news that we're fed is all darkness. There's no news about like how good we are to one another. But every day, you know, our experiences or my experience, and I'm sure lots of people, the kindness of someone being kind, the someone being thoughtful, these are the things that are also as important as the crap that we're being fed about how awful we are to one another. But a light has never shone on that. So for me, it felt very important to the making of the record that there had to be joy and there had to be hope, because we have the potential to be extraordinary. You know, there are times when we all come and equally so, we have the potential to be completely destructive. And, you know, you're witnessing it in your country, we're witnessing it in my country. But I really wanted to, you know that there's darkness, but I'm looking towards the light. I'm using a lot of words like feeling comes up a lot, and I use love a lot, which obviously comes up in a lot of songs, but I don't think from where I've come from, Radiohead, there's been a lot of love hasn't been used. And certainly my background, you know, come from Oxford, from the UK, we're pretty zipped up, you know. That's why going to a place like Brazil is really important, because it's like shedding skin. And that was another reason. It was like the opening of my kind of one of my mantras, like I want to get out of my head and into my heart. That meaning that I want to walk through life with a bigger heart, more love, and all those things. And so that's what I was trying to bring into the music. And I guess it comes more from a kind of lyrically, from a more soul sort of, that for me was gospel and soul. I love that music. I love, because again, that music is about darkness and coming into the light, right? And looking at the light, and also a divinity to life. And so that's the kind of the language that I was using, I guess, is more in that kind of from there.
It really was a special day. Mr. Ed O'Brien, Radiohead, again, his new record under the moniker EOB is absolutely worth checking out, as is the album from the band Muzz. Now, if you're not familiar with them, they're a new band, but with three friends that have been around the block a time or two. One of those is Mr. Paul Banks. Of course, you do know him as the voice behind the band Interpol. He and I had caught up, a year or two ago, whenever the last Interpol record, Marauder, had come out. But we got back on the line for this little side project right here to talk about it. And let me say, the first time, before I ever got to talk with Paul, I was intimidated. You listen to Interpol's music, and it's dark, you know, there is a brood to it. And it's always nice when you meet your heroes, how personable they can be. And Paul Banks is an absolute joy to talk with, and never seems to mind going someplace deep within the conversation, as we do here within this one. Paul Banks talking about Muzz on this Best of 2020 episode.
And here you are now, you know, with another trio. And I know, you know, the Interpol wasn't always a trio, and now it is. But is there something that works for you with three? I mean, three is the magic number, right?
I guess they say that in bands. It does feel it does feel like a good kind of number, because you can't really get stalemates on issues. But I feel like it really just boils down to chemistry. You know, I think we're fortunate enough with our temperaments and our personalities and our experience to, I think, be very amenable collaborators. And I think there's no tension, there's no weird ego stuff. It's all just kind of positive, creative energy, which is something that, you know, I think I'm doing a little bit better of bringing that sort of energy to all my projects, including Interpol. But it's kind of a state of mind that I've arrived at over many years of collaborating. And I feel like same with these guys, like we've all been here, done that. And it's kind of, you know, an epiphany to me is sort of like the whole process can be joyful. And I feel like I've often been in a mode of sort of suffering and brooding for my work. Not always, but it's just, this was a very fun project for me. And I think it's kind of informing my other collaborations as well.
Because it was written over such a long period of time, I would find it interesting that you would find a thread at all, but that you've talked about there have been musings on mental health. I think that was the phrase you used. That's really interesting to me because that's coming up more and more in a lot of music and in a lot of songs, but also in the wider artistic conversation than I think has in the past. I know it's being talked a lot about in interviews. Do you find that that's something that's actually being discussed more in the artist community itself?
I don't know. Depression or mood swings and art making kind of go hand in hand. So I feel like it's always been between the lines of almost every medium. There's some sort of something that's not quite hunky-dory going on. I think that's at the root of a lot of art. So I feel like among artists or in an artistic like context, I think it's always been present. I feel like it is kind of just a little bit more mainstream, and I kind of commend people that have been of late coming forward and talking about, you know, mental health issues and depression and volunteering that information about themselves. I think it's really commendable. There's a couple of athletes that I follow that have been really candid, and a few, you know, musicians. And I think it's good because I do think mental health is still something that is... I wouldn't say that it's stigmatized like it used to be, but I think it's not entirely well understood. I think it's hard for people to grasp the idea of it being a condition like, you know, diabetes, for instance, or a disease. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think people coming forward and being very vocal about their own experience with depression, for instance, is helpful.
Mr. Paul Banks there. And again, that brand new record, the band Muzz, that's what you're going to be searching for, Muzz. Now, moving right along, King Krule. Now, here's a mystery, man. British artist makes, I mean, you know, we were talking about brooding earlier with Paul Banks. This is more of a drone, mystery sound, dark, atmospheric, but absolutely fascinating what he's doing, both in his visual arts, music videos, short films, but especially with his music. So this was one, you know, at the beginning of it, I talked about how the first time I talked with Stephen Malcolmus that he was on a speakerphone, and for whatever reason, it's just kind of hard to, it's harder at least to center around on that. So I was really happy when we finally did make the connection within this interview, because as you'll hear, there is a speakerphone involved.
You've mentioned in the press release that, you know, half, or at least portions of this record does come before Parenthood and some afterwards. Can you hear a difference in the songs at that point, if it was the writing process? And I guess I don't know that part of it.
I guess, you know, if anyone's life, you know, there's constant evolution and change and cadences of what goes on around you. I think I'm constantly changing, so I don't know, I think it's just natural that happens. I'm a very tonal and textural kind of person. I kind of sleep in that when I listen to music, and, you know, it just kind of became an instrument for me, and so...
I mean, there's a few things on there, even beyond the Solange and Nina that I mentioned, like... The Beatles' A Day in the Life is on that list. And I thought, lyrically, like musically, I wouldn't have automatically, you know, put the two together with what you're doing on this record and that song. But I feel like lyrically, those two might be, you know, closely related somehow.
I listened to The Beatles probably like the first time properly in my life, like whilst I was making a record. And I'd always hated them because I grew up listening to punk music, and I thought, like, if you like The Beatles, there was something wrong with you. But now I kind of matured and realized that I really liked them. And yeah, that's just a composition that I respect.
That's interesting. Usually a Beatle, yeah, I mean, not for everybody, but The Beatles is a youth reference for a lot of people. You know, they get into the pop thing early. So it's talking to someone who comes at it later on.
Yeah, I think everyone's open to have their own interpretation of stuff.
The best of 2020 with Kyle Meredith with Sparks. This is the second time I got to talk with Sparks. The first time over the phone, it was both Ron and Russell, but this time it was just a one-on-one with Russell as we talked about their new album, A Steady Drip, Drip, Drip. And they have a lot going on beyond that. There's a film that they're working with Adam Driver. I think there's a documentary that's also in the works. And they're just some of the most creative writers, just some of the most creative writers, songwriters of all time. Jumping right into this one with Russell from Sparks. Who are these people in the songs this time around? Or is there something that sets them apart from any of the folks you've written in the past? I guess, are they in our world?
Well, I mean, one of the knacks that Ron has about his lyric writing is that, you know, he's able to take mundane situations and maybe even mundane characters and kind of elevate them to another sort of level. And when you treat some of these subjects that are kind of more potentially mundane and you treat them in a song and kind of make them overly elaborate about how you're talking about them, it brings it to a different kind of level and stuff. And I think that's a real knack to be able to do that. And there's a song on the new album that's called Lawnmower. And so it's about a guy's passion for his lawnmower. And he goes into such detail about this situation with the guy. And so it's a mundane situation, but it becomes something bigger when you treat it with the melodic kind of content that that song has, and also with kind of the detail and precision of the lyrics that are accompanying it. And so we kind of like doing that in Ron, especially where you have subjects that and themes maybe in songs that are kind of sometimes even maybe a traditional theme, but done in a way that's non-traditional, and talking about, you know, a relationship, which has kind of been done billions of times in pop music lyrics, but to find new ways of how you treat talking about a relationship. And that I think is a real knack.
Again, there's so much fun to listen to, and you get that on there. And, you know, I think a lot of the same things can be said about iPhone. I mean, that's the one I keep repeating. That song, by the way, iPhone, that's the one I keep hitting play on over and over and over. It's another, maybe it's the word fuck. You know, you guys use it well, I think, now that I'm thinking about it.
Well, that song, iPhone, is, you know, we don't like to gratuitously just throw in swear words because it's kind of cheap to be able to do that. But in the case of iPhone, where it's saying, put your fucking iPhone down and listen to me, it seems like it's such a colloquial way of saying that sentiment that you had to use that word, because we toyed at saying, you know, like, would you kindly set down your iPhone and listen to me? And it didn't have the same kind of resonance that put your fucking iPhone down and listen to me. So, and this song also, it's kind of, you know, it's just suggesting about communications amongst people, how it's, you know, kind of maybe we don't talk to each other as much as we do. We have in the past in a more metaphorical way. We don't communicate with each other. And it kind of uses the iPhone as sort of a metaphor, but it also cites during the song about Adam and Eve and their kind of communications issues, and then Abraham Lincoln and his communications issues as well. And so it uses the iPhone, but kind of speaks also about different specifics throughout history.
Best of 2020, Kyle Meredith here. We'll wrap it up with Mr. Buzz Osborne. Outside of the Melvins, he regularly goes by King Buzzo, and under that moniker released the album Gift of Sacrifice. I had never spoken with Buzz before. Again, this was someone, I gotta tell you beforehand, I'm thinking, how does this work? How does he interview? You know, you get that little intimidation. Buzz, you look at pictures, he's not smiling very often. Although you look at other pictures and he is playing golf, and that's a weird little contradiction, I guess, that you don't expect. But people have many layers, and that's what you get with Buzz Osborne, too. You know, he says things, he's very opinionated, he doesn't mind going places and speaking his mind, whatever that means, just being honest. And sometimes those opinions, they conflict with some of his fans or some of his not fans, and that's led to some interesting points throughout his career. We do address some of that in here as well, but I've got to tell you, he's one of the most fun interviews I've ever done. The man is a very, very intelligent person, and he's exactly the kind of artist that you're hoping for on the other side of a line. And this, honestly, this is one of those interviews where whatever you have planned on paper beforehand, sometimes you just got to let go and go where the interview goes, because it's going to take some interesting turns, and we had lots of those through this one. Here's Buzz Osborne talking about Gift of Sacrifices and so much more. Well, you've already won. You're still here. You're still doing this. You're still putting out interesting, relevant music. So you win automatically.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you. But we've operated like, especially me, I've operated like I would like it other bands to operate if I was a fan of that band. You know, how I would like to see someone else operate is how we operate. That's it. What I would appreciate musically, fan-wise, or musically, how they do stuff live or whatever, I would appreciate. I try to figure out what that is and incorporate that into what we're doing. You know, because we're essentially, music is art, and we as artists want to contribute something to society that normal people don't get in their everyday lives. I want to give them something they don't normally get. And that's my entire job. And I'm up for that challenge. I will try to do that as best as I can. I'm imagining the vast majority of people out there don't listen to anything remotely like us. And so that's what I'm doing. I'm offering an alternative to what is normal out there. And I'm writing it in a way that I think is good. Not that I think they will like, but that I think I will like. And if I like it, I figure that other people will like it as well. There's no right or wrong way to do this, you know. An open tuning, I wish someone would have showed me that from the beginning. It would have saved me a lot of trouble. You know, the Stones do it. They're in the business.
Richie Havens, the king of it right there. When I watch him, right? It's just mind-blowing. Like, I do the same thing. Why didn't I learn that?
Yeah, it's fine. But, you know, I mean, if you want to play like something, you should play like that. You don't have to learn the basics, you know, Segovia or whoever. Fuck all that, you know. If that's what you want to play, then learn that. If you want to play some other kind of lead, screaming lead guitar, listen to the guys at Slayer. Don't bother learning a bunch of muddy water stuff. You know, there's no point. You know, it's music. It's not ultimately important beyond that. You know, we do this as an extra thing in our life. And we are afforded that luxury. And music speaks to us in the most primal way, right in the middle of our hearts. And it always has since the dawn of time. What makes music cool? I don't know, but it's in my blood, you know?
Pardon the cliche, but I've always felt that's why the line, it's only rock and roll, is such a powerful line. Because at one side, it dismisses it from being too serious. But on the other side, it says everything about its importance.
But I like it.
And see, that's just a taste of it right there. But it's also a perfect sentiment to end this trip on. Part one, episode one of the best of 2020. I can't thank you enough for listening to this whole thing. I especially, obviously, want to thank the artists that were a part of this too. Buzz Osborne there, as well as Steve Amalkamis, Ed O'Brien, Paul Banks, King Cruel, and Sparks. And again, we'll be doing this once a week, all month long for December. You're going to get four best of episodes. I think about six artists, 24 all together, laying out the math for you. So if you're not already, hit that subscribe button so you can keep up with all of them that we're putting out here. And then beyond, when we get back to the regularly scheduled program come January. Again, find us at iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Acast, or anywhere you'd like to get your podcast from. And regularly, there will be three interviews put out every single week, a brand new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday again, so you can keep up with all of your favorite artists and what they're up to. And then after that, I implore you to head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. That's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. Again, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound, they've got your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. All three of them at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along there as well. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, I'm Jen, and I love horror movies.
I'm Mikey. I'm dead inside, and I also love horror movies.
And we really like to torture our friend Todd because he hates horror movies.
That I do. And that's why they call me the horror virgin.
That's the only reason we call him that.
I'm not. No other reasons at all.
None at all. Whatever. So
every week, we take him through the encyclopedia of horror, the good, the bad, the ridiculously Jack Frosts.
And then we make fun of it more or less.
Or explain its deceptive feminism.
Oh. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. That's my thing.
And I'm the funny one. Our episodes drop on Monday, so check us out.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big.